morning, brethren and sisters. It's very good to be with you, even though it's at Zoom's length from you this morning. In 2 Kings 8, that we read, Jehoram began to reign over Judah, but he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Yet, verse 19 of 2 Kings 8 says, yet the Lord would not destroy Judah for David his servant's sake, but he promised to give him always a light to his children. And in Lamentations 4, the reading we didn't read, Jeremiah says to the people of Judah going into captivity, Lamentations 4, verse 14, they wandered as blind men in the streets. They have polluted themselves with blood, so that men could not touch their garments. And verse 17, as for you, our eyes as yet fail for our vain help. In our watching, we have watched for a nation that could not save us. Their lives are written down for us to take heed of. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. But John also says in first letter of John chapter 1, verse 1, verse 5, this is the message that we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So there is a contrast in these verses between light and darkness. This is one of the big themes in the Bible. Light is the glory, the righteousness, the love of God, whereas darkness is sinfulness and all that opposes God. Human selfishness, human greed, all that does not glorify God. The Bible, which is God's word for mankind, tells us that God only has immortality and dwells in light unapproachable, that God is from everlasting to everlasting, that his thoughts and ways are not our thoughts and ways. God's word, the Bible, tells us that all that we need to know about him, about salvation, about the future. And it starts in Genesis with what men need to know about their origin, what we need to know about our origin. Genesis 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. But the Bible finishes with the kingdom of God being set up, when the earth will be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the seas. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 22 says, I saw no temple in the city, but its temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. And the city had no need of the sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. So before creation, our Father already had a plan and purpose, which he reveals to us in his word. Our Father knew that man would be sinful and selfish, and that salvation would be necessary. So we were to be redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and spot, foreordained before the foundation of the world. And again, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And again, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. That's from 1 Peter 1, Ephesians 1, and Titus 1. But God also proclaimed to Moses that his glory was not just in his majesty, but that he is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sins, but will by no means clear the guilty. God created man to be in his image, in his likeness, to show forth the glory and the character of their Creator, to be at one with him. But Adam and Eve preferred darkness to light. They chose not to obey God, but to use their free will to satisfy their selfish needs in opposition to God's character, and therefore could no longer live in the paradise of God. But God, in his mercy, grace and love, had already planned the way back to the light of his glory, even before he had created the heavens and the earth, which would involve the death of his only begotten Son. God has also given us his word, the Bible, produced over the ages, to enlighten us, to guide us back to being like him, a thing which we could never do ourselves. It's only by his grace and forgiveness. David writes in Psalm 119 and verse 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And the Apostle Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, "And we have a more prophetic word, and we have the prophetic word more firmly confirmed, to which you do well to pay attention, as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. And no prophecy was ever produced by the will of men, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Jesus then was born to shine a light on the nature and character of his Father, by committing his life fully to what his Father had written about him in the Word, in his Word, the Old Testament. He said, "Not my words, not my actions, not my thoughts, not my will, but thine be done." In John's Gospel, we have the new spiritual creation in Jesus Christ. John 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, the plan and purpose of God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not." And it says of Jesus in verse 11, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word plan and purpose of God, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So in Jesus was all that God had planned in his mercy, grace, his compassion and love. And if we want to know what God is like, we can see it in the way that Jesus lived. Having his Father's compassion for all. The way he prayed in communion with his Father. In the way that he gave his life for his Father and for us. John says again in John chapter 3 verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, that his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God." Jesus not only said, "I am the light of the world," but he also passed that responsibility onto his followers, to his disciples, and to us. He said, "Ye are the light." On the will. To men light a candle and put it under a bushel, under a bucket, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The source of the true light is God himself, his character, his ways, his love for all. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus humbled himself to do, to say, and to think like his Father. That he could say, "I am the light of the world." A light like his Father, and glorify his Father. And the light he displayed from his Father, we have to display in our lives, in the way we think, in the way we speak, in the way we put into action our Father's character and his Son's, in the way we love the Lord with all our heart, mind, soul and strength, and how we love our neighbour, our brethren and sisters, and show them what our Father and Jesus are like. And the great salvation that God in his mercy and grace has given to all that accept his Son as their Saviour. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 6 says, "The God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Jesus, in the last hours before his crucifixion, said in John chapter 12, verse 33, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. but for this cause came I to this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And so, as Jesus faced the terrible torture and crucifixion, his care was not for himself, but for his disciples and for us. He said, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And he exhorted them and us. John 12, verse 23, the hour is come. John 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. He also said, John 14, 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And at the end of his exhortation he said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So we remember him in the bread. We remember him in the wine. And we remember him in our lives.